make it happen.
Hi, I'm Josh, and I am the thrill of the hunt and the taste of the shunt.
See, I get made fun of for not knowing the gag, and that one was fucking weird. What?
That's Matt, and he's confused.
And Adam's eating cheesecake.
It's frozen cheesecake, but he's very strong.
No mere mortal can eat frozen cheesecake.
Stronger than cheesecake.
And now I'm wishing I could remember one of like the additional Norse gods from the Thor comics. Drawn a blank. I got Thor and Loki. I don't want to be that obvious.
The easy pick. Cheesecake, you lose.
Easy pick. What do you do?
Cheesecakeles is, weirdly enough, the Roman god of cankles. And this is Horror Show Hot Dog. So this week we were all about trying to find some hidden gems based on a list of said hidden gems.
An internet list. Let's give it the proper gravity it deserves.
It's true. It was from the internet, so, you know, it checks out.
No one guessed it. Yeah.
So we went deep into crazy town for some of these. It's weird to think how some of these got made, and it's weird to think some of these we haven't heard of. And I think It was weird to me that we hadn't heard of Society. Or La Sociedad.
Ooh,
because it.
I'm on fire tonight.
Spanish don't care.
He's all hopped up on cheesecake. And
Spanish is over in the corner crying. eating cheesecake, drinking a big bottle of crisp and cider.
Bing.
Spending the day with you guys.
Did you just bing the cider?
No, it was because he was doing a product placement.
Oh, I thought that was more like an achievement unlock.
Crisp and cider, now you're playing with power. And then I turn away and I sign him the check.
And I say Bing because it's a search engine that's actually very useful.
And then he turns and signs the check. We don't have any endorsement deals for you because no one wants you.
That's probably very true.
Well, there was a second.
Like, I don't know about that one asshole, but let's get these two guys. They are hot.
Those other two fucking dick bags.
They're on
those
the ball.
Those guys are money.
Yeah. Get me done.
Just Pete Newspaperman is the guy that I report to.
Yeah, exactly.
You're gonna be talking about moon pies, kid. Like, I don't. Do they even? What is that? Is that a thing that they make anymore?
Yeah, it is.
They got at least 50 cents ever mentioned for you.
We'll have you shelling sea monkeys by Tuesday. sea monkeys.
Is that a threat or did I do a bad job?
I know. Is that a lateral move?
Sorry, I misread that. It's actually semen keys.
Ah, there's good money in that.
And that's why you buy that extra polygraph.
Yep, that's why you buy that extra polygraph, dude.
You know what? I'm rolling with it.
You need to have a backup in case the other one
so
goes
you know if
down.
The story checks out or not.
Yeah, we got to make sure that you don't think that you're lying about putting them on a lie detector.
It's like, why did you put yourself on the lie detector before you put him on the lie detector? Well, I feel like he should know that I'm asking factual questions.
Yeah. He needs to know that I'm coming from a legit place of caring.
So should you accidentally splash jizz on your...
on the lie detector.
You have a backup. So where was that? What was that going
fetish.
To be when
it was
going to
be a jizz guard joke. I think I was going to say either like polyurethane, maybe was where I was going with that.
Yeah.
Polycarbonate? I don't know.
I was just thinking that jizz guard is the place where the gods live in the
jizzy version of Asgard.
Yeah, where you just got like a one-eyed Ron Jeremy sitting on a throne instructing his sons on how to not fight.
No. He's got two eyes. He's like, wait, I thought Odin only had one eye. And he's like, here it is.
And then he got fucking Heimdall just bifrosting everyone.
Open your gate, Heimdall. I don't want to.
There's Come no on. Way that will fit in there.
I don't think I thought my cunning plan all the way through.
The problem. Jizz God!
Welcome to Jizz God, Thor. Thanks.
It would be really funny if
he's
like...
It's the simplest jokes that are the best, man.
He brings fucking Jane Foster and is like, and this is Jizz God, and just fucking wet and slime everywhere, and just like, can I go back to Earth? No, you have to see the whole thing.
And this is my lady Sif. It's pronounced the same, it's just spelled S-Y-P-H.
Yes. is.
Oh, this is a terrible, terrible idea.
That's where you get to your problems with those deities, is that most of their names are already slightly porny, so...
So you can make all the Norse gods jizz-related.
Yeah, older.
Minimal, oh, they're... Yeah.
Yo, this chick is a little too hairy for me. Well, then maybe you want to hit up Balder. Thanks, Choden.
God damn it.
Oh, yeah. This is a good show.
Oh, yeah, this is...
We haven't even started talking about Slaliolaidad that you fucking whatever.
Soledad O'Brien.
Soledad O'Brien is my favorite private detective.
We watch Society, or in Espanol, Soledad O'Brien.
Mariska Hargitay.
There we go. So Society is the story of that guy from the Average Homeboy video that went viral like 5 years ago.
We need to point out though that from Jump in this movie.
From Jump Street?
There's probably a few streets you could jump from for this movie. Okay. I'd say in the neighborhood of 21 of them. You know you're in for a wild ride when your main character's real name is the coolest name that's ever happened, ever. And that's not even his character name. I feel like they actually did us a disservice by changing his name for the movie, because we have the film starring Billy Warlock.
Yep.
That is every 12-year-old boy's like, dude, I would be like, I'd have like 8 machine guns and like that Rambo headband, and I'd be Billy Warlock. And you're like, fuck yeah, you would. And this guy got to be.
You would have all of the Liefeld pouches.
Oh my god, so many pouches.
Guns that all have the pouches. 2 barrels, one for lasers and one for bullets.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the drawback, though, of being Liefeldian.
Yeah, he had really, really weak ankles. Yeah.
On your, like, spade-shaped feet. That's right.
Your tiny shovel feet and your little nub hands you hold everything with. And, dear God, don't ever stand 3/4 turn.
Oh, God, the Captain America 3/4 turn.
Because you will have tits that are 63 inches long. You muscly bitch.
Yeah, I was thrilled to see Billy Warlock. I was like, yes, this dude's, that's my jam right there.
Yeah, no, he straight up reminds me of the dude from the Average Homeboy fucking music video. We'll watch it on the break, because you will see what I'm talking about.
That dude's hair gets bigger and bigger as the longer it goes on, till it, by the end of it, it looks like he's wearing a motorcycle helmet with a wig on it.
Kinda. It's like the hair that the girls had in Facts of Life.
Yeah.
Like, it's so evocative of the time. And this is the movie that
girls!
Came out. Yeah, this is the movie that was made in 1989, but did not actually come out until 92, was it?
Hmm.
Apparently it was released earlier in Europe. And actually,
and
did
Jizzgard.
And did, yeah, well, your Jizzgard is the foundation of the European market.
Yeah.
You know, if you, as they've always, you know, it's a common industry trope, but, you know, if you make boku bucks at the box office in Jizzgard, you're home free.
Yep.
Pacific Rim did pretty well.
Yeah, no, that's how Jizzgard, they finally got
but
their
they called
back.
It Pacific Rim Job.
Yeah,
well, to get people changed. In the door.
Oh, I'm going to have to write a low hanging fruit Ville joke for that for next weekend, I can tell already. So, yeah, you've got that. You also have the, I can't remember her real name now. It's Heidi Kozel or something like that, who is Billy Warlock's girlfriend in the movie, who is
the girl that he hooks up with later?
No, his actual girlfriend at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Who is also the chick that gets naked and killed in the lake in Friday the 13th Part 7, was it? The New Blood? Is that when
New Blood is 6?
Is it 6, maybe? But she's the chick that gets killed in the lake right away in that. She's also the chick that dies from having her whole head turned into a zit in Slumber Party Massacre 2. So she's been in 3 of our movies now that we've watched, so bravo. And looking at her IMDb, that's pretty much all we're going to see her. She was in these movies, and then there's like a 10-year gap, and she made one movie in 1993. There's a 10-year gap, and she made a movie in 2003, and then nothing. So she's probably at this point just doing the convention circuit and signing autographs for creepers. So, which again, I would love to have that career. I think that would be awesome. But you know,
you gotta get your tits out in some horror movies is what you gotta do.
Yeah, I feel like I would find less success with getting my tits out in a horror movie.
If you were in the Necronomicon bikini,
out, get both them dicks of yours out.
To be fair, if I double dicked, I feel like I would.
If you drop double dicking, you just dicked out twice.
Yeah. It's a touch and go situation. It's like going full retard. It's Oscar bait, sure, but it's real quickly.
Will you stop Oscar baiting in there?
Well, with two dicks, I'm kind of forced to Oscar bait.
It's like a statue just standing there. He's gonna get him, dude. He's gonna get him.
Like, dude, that's actually not even an Oscar. That's just a shampoo bottle.
Painted gold and the word Oscar written on it. Yeah, it's just, Don't tell Dunn that.
You can very clearly see the impression of the letters that say Prell under the gold flake.
Do not tell Dunn that. He's got a whole shelf of them that he's very proud of.
Yeah, and it's like, well, that's true, I guess. I got my real Oscars back over here. Like, that's a Mrs. Butterworth's.
Actually, yeah, but it's a glass Mrs. Butterworth's before they switched to plastic.
And you're like, you asshole, that's a Frangelico bottle. You're not even doing a real Mrs. Butterworth's.
An off-brand.
Just kidding, it's actually a broom. Wow.
Strong work.
How did you do that?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. So this movie, Hair Helmet Boy, is...
Hair Helmet Boy. And Rocket Gal.
Hair Helmet Boy is convinced that he's, like, adopted or some shit, because he thinks his family is weird to him.
Right, because they won't bang him.
Well, eventually, but he's weirded out before it even becomes the idea that, like, yeah, they're plowing with a sister.
Well, yeah, you got, like, mom and dad are doting on their daughter in a way that also is, like, borderline inappropriate the entire time, just kind of fawning on her.
Although he seems a little creepery even himself at a couple points in the movie where you're like, you're a little too friendly with your sister. Not as bad as mom and dad, but there were a couple points where I was like, is this going to be a weird incest movie?
I mean, like, we know that his sister is a fine piece of ass, you know, but... Yeah. Jeez, man. Jeezman.
Steve Jeezman.
Ooh, a Jeezman. Leave me out of it.
Cheeseman it, guys. It's the cuffs.
The fix is in. 23 Skidoo. Thanks, John Newspaperman.
Oh, man. Is that Pete's brother? Is there a second newspaper?
Oh, was it
Pete
Newspaperman? Shit. Well, he's the shitty knockoff brother that works for, like, the Inquirer.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, Pete Newspaperman is holding down the job at, like, the Daily Bugle. But, you know.
So, basically, we get into Mr. Warlock trying to discover...
Try to discover...
That his family is not his family. And, he does.
Yeah. By the way, that's those two sentences fast-forward you through 45 minutes of movie. Because they really take the long way around
the way around, but, man, is it quite the... Just, isn't the view is lovely.
There's some very
bizarre things happen, though, like the sister in the shower where he thinks that she's not... Something.
That, to be fair, that the shot where he, like, opens up the bathroom door to find, what, sunscreen or something? And she's very clearly, like, facing him from the torso up, but then clearly washing her ass through, like, the frosted door. I'm like, that's honestly kind of a disturbing visual, because it is just, like, that can't happen. And that I was like, oh, you know, like, this movie's kind of got me a little intrigued with where they're going to go with this. I didn't expect, like, the full-blown, like, body horror that is the last 10 minutes, but...
Yeah. I really did like the shower thing, because she's got, like... Not only is her torso turned around backwards, but then her elbows are bending the wrong way for her torso to be backwards.
Yeah.
So, like, they're bending backwards and away from her boobs.
Yeah.
Which are suddenly, like, gigantic and round.
There's also that, is that it's very clearly not the same A cup that we were talking to a minute ago.
That made me kind of weirded out, too. Like, it wasn't just, this is a bad body double. It's like, oh, all the joints are all backwards.
Yeah, well, but the thing, too, is I feel like that...
through the door like that is really...
It makes sense, though, that you'd have, when she's monstrous, that her having ridiculous, like, Tupperware under her chest kind of makes sense for the highly sexualized nature of the creepy body horror.
Right.
So it's like, the idea that that would be a thing is kind of fits the motif of the movie to a point. I don't know. It's just good. I was like, okay, that's a decent early kind of weirdo moment. I'm like, I dug it.
And I'm looking at the trivia for this, like, the director had aspirations of, like, a Rosemary's Baby scenario where you're not sure if Billy's just losing his mind the whole time. I don't think he actually gets there, but...
I saw that,
when he takes a bite out of an apple in the psychiatrist's office and sees a bunch of worms crawling in it, and just like, ah!
Yeah, and I feel like that they did enough of that that I could see that that's where they were going with it, at least. I don't know that I ever thought there wasn't something amiss, because it's a horror movie, something has to be wonky.
Hmm.
But,
Meet me under the dock. I've got a micro cassette tape to play for you.
God. And it's one of those...
Right.
Much like the variable power of grenades or glasses, this is something else I always love in movies, is that with like a micro cassette recorder like that, fast forward a little bit, and it starts exactly at the beginning of a pertinent bit of information, not mid-sentence or anything, but it's just like, and that's where I hid the bodies. Like, it's exactly where...
so here's where I'm going to hide the bodies. It always starts at the moment you need to hear it, not like, oh, shit, back up a little. Oh, nope, too far. Good. Oh, okay, there we go. Oh, interesting. It's always just like, that's exactly what I wanted to know. And this is a 30-minute recording, and I just randomly hit fast forward for three or 4 seconds.
Like, it's kind of like when you turn on the TV, it's a news bulletin.
They're just starting the bulletin. Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things that the, you know, well, I mean, to be fair, I've been told information wants to be free.
Yeah.
So the
information doesn't
want to
be personified.
Right. What?
Information doesn't want to be anthropomorphized.
Sure. Well, unless it's Videodrome, in which case.
Yeah. Information wants to be inside you.
Yeah. Yes.
If it's a Cronenberg joint.
The new Flash.
Yes.
Thank you for picking that up, because I was like, I'm out. I got nothing.
So Billy's kind of outsider status is weirdly variable, too. Because he's running for class president or whatever, and he seems to be doing pretty well.
He's clearly favored by the entire student body.
The whole, like, the guy running against him is a giant nerd that he's just, like, wearing his Letterman's jacket and, like, so it's a good thing we don't all dress like this idiot over here, because he would never be a good president.
Yeah, it's like, look what at a Melvin. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like,
look at this guy. He clearly sucks for a living. He's like, he does. We're not voting for that guy.
And everybody's like, story checks out.
And that first time, everybody's on his side, but then later, when he believes that Martin is dead and he's trying to tell everybody, they're laughing at him, and then Martin rolls up. They're like, well, Martin was going to win all along. And he's like, damn, Gina.
It's a strange, like, Carrie situation of, like, let's all make this guy think he's going to win the class president or whatever the fuck that is. Like, we're all in on that. We'll show this guy who's attractive and talented. You know, like high school does. Punishes the alpha.
Yeah.
like
it's been known to do.
We find out that Billy is adopted, which means he can never be
subhuman.
Fully loved by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And he has...
Ever.
No.
But I really like the idea that his parents don't have any attachment to him at all, and we're just grooming him for shunting.
Yeah.
The entire time.
It's
pretty funny. There was never any, like, God, we're going to sacrifice our own child. It was more like sweet,
it's more like,
shunting action.
Oh, 17 fucking years, finally.
Like, I'm going to absorb this kid like crazy.
Yeah.
I do really, really, really enjoy the greatest line in this film. And we all can agree what it is.
And it is,
fuck you, butthead.
Yeah, that was pretty
fuck you,
classic.
Butthead, and it's like, started off strong, trailed off right into absolute weakness.
That was one that didn't need a button on it, because I was watching him being like, he's like, fuck you, butthead, and I'm like, whoa, you didn't even add an oid on it.
Yeah, you fucking shit the bed on the end of that burn.
Yeah, he's just like, oh man, I'm on a roll, I'm gonna fucking... Butthead 2.
His dad's like, this is why we're going to eat the kid.
Yeah, like...
His insults suck.
Yeah.
He lost to Marty at school. Did you hear about this? And everyone starts laughing again.
The dad just turns, am I right? And, like, the audience has been watching, like, he's right. He's very right about that. Right.
It cuts back to the auditorium scene. They're all laughing. They're still there laughing.
Yeah.
Remind me a little bit, though, of when you'll do, like, God, that cunt so fucking wants the D. I'm like, huh. Interesting choice.
Well, yeah, that was always my lament with people who very frequently are like, fucking A. And I'm like, what?
Like, what is the A supposed to be?
I'm not ever sure.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, but it's like you're clearly censoring something, and like, on the sliding scale of profanity that people consider offensive, like, fuck's right up there with, you know, cunt being the only one that's not a racial slur. Like, that's about as... You're swinging for the fences already. The idea that you draw it back is a little strange, so... Fuck you, butthead. You know?
The A in fucking A stands for anal fissure.
Fucking anal fissure. You're right, I would rather hear A. Yeah.
It's not that they're censoring it. They just got places to be.
That's true.
I feel really bad for that guy. I mean, he's Carrie Fisher's brother, but he just can't get any work.
It's just like, oh,
look, I'm
God.
A legitimate actor, not with that name.
It's Anal. Sure it is.
And Billy Warlock.
Don't be so
just
anal,
like,
about it, you know? I'm going to be on top forever.
With Billy a name Warlock. Like this, I'm on an unstoppable meteoric rise to the top.
I'm going to hyperloop Meteors my way all the way to the future. And nobody knew what the fuck he was talking about at first. Because Billy Warlock was actually from the future.
Mm.
I want to hyperloop.
He's actually
hyperloop.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, I want to hyperloop here, but it's just like there's no cities here that are like have a great distance between the two of them. It's just like, yeah, go from San Francisco to Los Angeles in like 8 seconds. That'd be cool. What if they have one between Minneapolis and St. Paul? I'm like, well,
that
really
would just kind of
like,
be Minneapolis and St.
Paul.
That
really only takes like a minute. You hop in the thing, just poof, 800 miles. You're here. Welcome Woo! To St. Paul.
Everybody's just dead of whiplash.
See, like they could accomplish that with just a really long train that you get on and you just walk through the cars. There.
I think it's a little unorthodox, but it fits our lifestyle here.
Like, call it the Locked Bridge. Give it a cool name like that. Like, what is like that? Well, it's a bridge that's always in both destinations.
Yeah. So when you get on the train, you're already at your destination since one half of the train is touching your destination. So technically, it's an instantaneous trip. So but it took me like 45 minutes to walk to the other end, but you're already there.
Yeah, but you
bro,
but
it was like 8 miles
there.
Yeah,
so
you just made like an 8 mile long train. And Eminem's like, yeah, it's an 8 mile train. I support it.
We should have never elected Eminem as governor.
Hindsight and regret are both 2020.
Yeah.
Looks like he missed his chance to blow. So,
what is happening? This night recording shit.
Magic.
Is not...
I know, it's
magic.
Dear listener, for the next at least few weeks, we're going to be recording these in the evening at some point. You may notice a tonal shift in how the show sound.
I was about to bring it back in. I was about to say, so on the beach, Billy gets attacked by a super hot 80s swimsuit with a girl in it.
Yeah.
And she's like weirdly AFR, and he's not really having it. I love every time you're like, what does that mean again? Oh, sweet.
Well, no, because I know like the physical act you're describing, but then I have to try to piece together the acronym again. Then every time I'm like, yeah, Rumpy Pumpy. So, you know, I'm 8.
But he gets pulled away by the... I swear that kid looked like a younger version of the guy who steals Pee-wee Herman's bike.
Oh, my God, that is exactly what I was going to say.
Shit,
to the
son.
Point that I looked it up, but it's not
it's
him.
Not? No.
But it definitely looks like him.
Wow.
Who plays him the tape of, like, this is what really happened at your sister's debutante ball that you missed because you had to deliver your speech about Martin being a nerd.
Yeah, and so you get the whole, like, first you're going to bang someone your own age.
Well, it was first we dine, then the copulation. Yeah. I wrote this down because I enjoyed it. First someone your age, then your mother and me.
And then it's a free-for-all.
It's so much fun to see how far you can stretch.
Yeah, which makes a little more sense once you see the finale.
Right.
But is pretty disturbing
yeah.
the first time you hear it. It's just like...
You know, it could just end up being that they're all just fucking each other and it's gross. And
yeah, and it's just like it's like a
kind of horrific.
BYOS party where you bring your own speculum. Right. Just like, let's get down. Like, let's get down in a way that everyone here is uncomfortable with. It's like, why am I signing up for this?
Like, come on, dude, it'll be cool, just chill.
This is what happens if you can trace your family's heritage back to, like, the Nina, the Pinto, the Santa Maria. Like, this is fucking old school blue blood.
This is how,
like,
it's done.
Yeah, when everybody is your sibling because you can trace your family tree back that far, then, I mean, what does incest really mean?
So, yeah, he hears the creepy recording.
And then, like, screaming and somebody dying on the cassette.
Yeah. And then takes the microcassette to his therapist and does the thing that, with current technology, would never happen, which is give him the only copy of his evidence.
Yeah.
Because now you'd be like, yeah, I sent you an email with it, and you'd still have your original.
This is actually the WAV file you sent me. No, it isn't. That's a different one. Let me play you the one I sent
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Well, send me that again.
I can do that an infinite number
of
times.
You don't get how this works, right? Like, I will always have the source file.
Newspaperman's in the corner like, this is black magic.
This kid has got an infinite sound that can constantly be changed but never destroyed.
You mean like a record?
Yes. An unscratchable vinyl record. Yeah. My God!
So, yeah, he takes it to his therapist, who's like, I'll be sure to check into this. Why don't you run along now?
Yes, I'll take care of it.
Yeah, and
why'd you say it like that? What?
I said I'm going to...
It's very Parker Posey from Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
No, I distinctly heard you say, huh?
And those kids will never know what hit them, and neither will you. Excuse me? What?
Ooh, that was close.
You said...
What?
You said... They'll never... I said they'll never know what hit them, and then you said, and neither will you. What do you mean? I meant, neither will you guys, the teenager.
Yeah.
Just like,
that's another movie that's way better than it deserved to be.
Oh, that was
fantastic, fucking good.
De Jure is an amazing band.
Such a
with
good
their
name.
Smash hit Backdoor Lover.
So yeah, he gives Bob the rapist the only copy of his evidence, dicks around for a little bit, and comes back to the Bob the rapist, who tells him, like, this is clearly you're coming unhinged, and then plays him a relatively similar tape, but all the horrible parts are replaced with, like, oh, you'll
it's
dance
like,
with...
first we die, and then there'll be introductions, then you'll pick the man you want to dance with.
And then you dance with your mother, and then you dance with anyone, and it'll be so much fun, and it's like, that's not the tape I gave you.
And then you
and
fuck
I remember
everybody.
Because I'm
like,
Billy
no, Warhawk. Huh? It's like, that is not the what we're supposed
like,
to say.
Can we
at
edit
the end?
This?
And it's just like, well, just cut that part out.
It's a micro cassette. You can't cut the part out. God damn it.
Like, we'll just play him this part and stop before we get there.
So Billy is getting increasingly paranoid and cray cray. His buddy, who was pranking him for part of the movie.
With the shrunken head.
Because in the blow-up doll in his car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's like, because yeah, man, you got to make time for me. I'm your friend. And it's like, that's a weird way to be like, I miss you, bro.
Miss you, bro. Fuck this blow-up doll.
Yeah. That was...
Thanks, man. that was a good idea.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Awkward. I feel like that.
Trying to think of what specialty Dr. Awkward would be.
Huh. Your nose and throat?
He's an ENT doc.
No, he's a proctologist who constantly whistles. Jesus, could you just not?
What can I say? I love my job. Just don't talk. Do we have to talk while you do this?
No, he's a proctologist who talks like a hairdresser. So, what's the dish? Oh, honey, he is no good for you.
Yeah, you still seeing that girl from accounting? Can we not? Because it looks like... Please don't.
So I understand you enjoy corn.
The music, of course.
And gum. You know you shouldn't swallow that. God damn it.
You got there before I could.
He hyperlooped. I you, do like... land, you land bridge, did.
Yep.
Hyperloop versus land bridge.
Two ridiculous bridges, land bridge. Shut the fuck up.
You don't know.
You can't. They can't all just have dynamite names like Hyperloop.
What about the bridges that are just in the water and they don't touch either side?
The float bridge.
Oh, those are boats.
I thought you were talking about the bridges of Madison County.
Those are air bridges. Those are Jeff bridges.
Like, you couldn't stop yourself.
There was so much shame invested in that.
You just tried to put the brakes on so bad.
It hurt.
You gotta pump the brakes, dude. You slid right through that intersection.
You pulled right into the station and hit the Jeff Bridges. And we're just... You were fucking Charlie Browning it, dude. Your fucking head was down. You were dragging
it. It is the same thing as the, like... The guy who has to lick all the doorknobs on the way home from school. He doesn't like doing it. Your brother.
Okay.
He doesn't like doing it, and he knows
and no
that...
No one likes him doing
it. Nobody likes
God
him doing
it. God damn it, he's going to do it.
It's not his American right to lick everyone.
That's what I was born to do.
OCD was
I shovel
I was
well. I shovel very well.
Are you down with OCD?
Yeah, you know me.
Thank you. I really like when Billy crashes the snooty party that he wasn't invited to.
Yeah.
Can we throw a snooty party?
And they're like, hey, are we going to, like, Jeff McFarlane's party because he fucked your sister on that tape? And Billy, with, like, the most dejected yet determined voice, goes, someday it'll be my party. And in my head, and I'll cry if I want to.
Yes. By the way, he does get a last-minute invitation the day of that party.
By telegram.
Yeah. Telegram.
Did he actually get the telegram, though?
Come
that,
to party.
That cool.
Stop. Well, do I go? Just, what the fuck? Telegram? It's 1989. I'm old enough that if telegrams existed as a thing that was common, I could have seen one happen in my lifetime in 1989. Pretty sure not.
This whole movie, by the way, feels like Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
It absolutely.
Which was filmed in 85. And this is 4 years later, but it all of the fashions and the everything, like,
totally
there is no hint
consistent.
That Pearl Jam is practicing in a garage somewhere.
Wow.
During this. You know, and it, we don't
Way
know
to put
that
it
we're
into
like
context
2 years
for me.
from Hammer Pants.
Oh, God.
I just imagine sending somebody a telegram, by
Paul
the way.
Paul Abdul and Scat Cat.
Yeah, about a party, and he's like, ain't no party like a goblin party, because a goblin party don't stop.
Yes. Ran out of dimes. Couldn't finish that sentence.
Ran out of dimes.
Don't stop.
Believing.
Stop. Thinking about tomorrow.
All right, I'm going to put this out there right now.
Telegram song.
Yeah, HSHD hot doggies, please link us a picture of your fucking best Telegram song in the comments,
God.
Or put it on the Reddit, or, you know, somewhere, but we need to see them. Make a Tumblr. We don't fucking care. We just need to see them. We're not going to make them, because they already did, like, two good ones. So
I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of compelled to make at least
one. Well, then there might be a couple made by us.
Maybe
yeah.
If we do make any, we'll throw them up on the Facebook or something.
Or we won't.
Or not. We may just be...
We don't just fucking do things for you guys.
We're not...
No, wait, we do? That's why we're doing
this? I feel
this?
Like that is the entire thing we're
yeah,
doing right now.
I would feel like that was probably accurate.
If it's, yeah, that's pretty
say.
Much... That's sort of the definition.
That is my fault, then. I did not know that we did this... For the others, I thought this was like for us, and we just said fuck it. If they listen, they listen.
Was the others any good?
Yeah, this is all for Nicole Kidman. And
that that's the one.
Little girl.
Okay, I was like, I know I've seen a movie called The Others. Yeah, that wasn't that good.
I thought it was pretty good.
It wasn't that bad though.
But it is the kind of movie you would think is pretty.
It
good.
Lacked a scene in which
it is a Josh movie, but it's not.
It's absolutely. A Josh
but it's not as bad as The Haunting was though. The one with Owen Wilson,
right?
Because those came out in the same
Wait,
month.
The Haunting.
Yeah. Others was just. Kind of creepy throughout. I didn't think it was like
it has
a
couple
super
creepy
horror
scenes,
movie.
But it was
more the thriller, and I like the twist.
Twist?
We'll yeah. worry about that later. So we get to the end of society, and
well,
that guy who stole the bike
yeah,
is
well,
there.
First, I got a hit on Billy sleeping with crazy bikini girl, and halfway.
God, her mom.
Well, like first halfway through coitus, he like looks up and her torso's on backwards,
which is pretty great.
I love that that's, like, in the trivia on IMDb, it's, this special effect was achieved by having another person under the blanket who was turned the other way. Like, really?
Wow.
Wow, I just thought they broke her spine briefly for that.
Yeah.
And it just kind of looked like somebody else was under the blanket.
I think we should maybe start adding trivia to the movies we watch, because clearly you can just be like, here's an obviously observable feature of this film. Like, in fact,
fun
it happens on camera.
Weird Billy wore thing. Pants the entire film.
Exactly. Did
the
you
blade
know?
On the knife that he stabbed her with was retractable.
Yeah.
No, he didn't
This
actually.
One also, by the way, had special visual effects by Screamin' Mad George, which I know I've seen that name in credits for other movies. Do you guys know off the top of your head?
No.
All right, I'm going to... IMDb that shit while we're talking.
What
about
I love
I feel like
is
that's the name I know.
So the original draft of the script that the guy started working with, at the end of it, the society is just a bunch of rich weirdos who are going to sacrifice Billy, and they've been grooming him for sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that he was like, "That's like an 8. Let's take it to an 11. What if we hire Screaming Mad George and make giant latex things, and they're just weird, squishy people who like have heads that can stick out of their own assholes.
And then they go with their mouths to fart.
Let's do that.
Like, can we?
So many. Like, it's so hard to touch on all the weird shit in this movie.
Hey,
like,
I guess I am a butthead, and it's like you're not saving it. It's not like the insult.
I know. I was just like,
or...
I appreciate that you did a callback to the weakest part of that insult. But I mean, if you're gonna literally have a guy's face grow out of his ass, that's you're going whole hog.
If
on
he
that.
Had said. I am a butthead, and I'm going to fuck you.
That would have been the move.
That would have been the
oh
truth.
Oh my God, I love Screaming Mad George. This is great.
What has he been doing?
So Screaming Mad George worked on the creature effects for Predator.
Mm.
Nightmare on Elm Street 4, he was the creator of the cockroach death sequence. Bride of Reanimator did some stuff. Guyver did some stuff. Silent Night, Deadly Night 5... Necronomicon, Book of the Dead, Children of the Corn 3, and Beyond Reanimator. Like, those are actually some movies that were pretty decent, so that I've probably recognized the name from the Reanimator movies, and then probably Nightmare on Elm Street 4, I would guess.
Although the best thing, the creepiest person in there requires no special effects, and it's just the slab of lady that is Bikini Girl's mom.
Yeah.
Who just kind of wanders around.
Rebel Wilson.
And coughing up a blonde bulb, which I think Rebel Wilson does at some point.
The worst part is that just came to me just now, and I felt immediately like an asshole. It's like Rebel Wilson. Ooh, you're a dick, dude. And just like
sometimes you gotta call him like you see him.
Like, I don't think.
And then we all turned into Jay Leno for a minute.
I think if you walked up to Rebel Wilson and said, "By the way, you're fat," she would probably go, "Uh huh."
And
then she'd probably slap me with a bunch of money.
Yeah, it's like, I'm also super successful and funny. Like,
well, a bunch
are,
of money
that,
and then a
yeah.
ham.
She wouldn't hit someone with a ham.
Well, that's true.
By fat principles alone, you
she
don't
waste
the
She would hit them with
food.
A ham fist.
Ooh.
Yeah. Huh. So literally? Anyway, as Adam was trying to get to, by the end of the movie, we're societied out.
Anything for society. I'm glad we worked a titular line in there for some reason.
You're right.
Yeah.
We get why this movie made the list in the first place is this end sequence.
The last 10 minutes. Because, I assumed it was going to be, like, crazy sex murder orgy, you know?
Sure. Like, you know, like normal.
Yeah, you know, it's something, like, vaguely, like, hostile-ish or something like that. Nope. Fucking, what are they? Did they ever tell you why they were able to do that?
Well, he says we're not aliens and we're not monsters, we're just
we've been on
good
Earth as long as you guys have.
We're not the same
they're
species
just,
as you are.
So, but basically what
they're all squishy.
Yeah, they basically kind of, they're sort of like the partially transformed thing in the thing.
Yeah, they can just kind of
also
lube
kind of like
up
the,
and soften themselves and
sort of absorb
and kind of like the end of Slither.
Yeah, they kind of combine with other people that they're kind of feeding off of, so like most of them, it's just like their face sort of is like they like bite or kiss someone, and then their face sort of elongates and they become connected with a big fleshy goo wad. And then I gotta admit though, anytime a dude is just like what is it the judge is like the big
like the general guy, the
doodah of the
guy,
whole
yeah.
party,
yeah.
And I forget the line, but there's something he says just before he fists the guy anally until his fist comes out the dude's mouth.
Yeah, we're gonna get to the bottom of it.
And I'm like, you went the full, like, you are Spinal Tap right now. You are at 11 for nuttiness, and I love you for that.
Yeah, and that is the shunt, is the...
Yeah, had they pulled back from that, I would have been like, but nope, they were just like, we're going to make this joke, and we're going to show you this fist come out of this guy's mouth through his asshole.
Right?
Matt just drops his bowl of popcorn and his 24-ounce bottle of just straight-up vodka just out of his hand, just like... You motherfuckers did it.
You beautiful bastard.
Yeah, pull it off.
You glorious son of a bitch.
And that's not even the end.
They
were like, he runs upstairs. Like, from that's not your
That's
capper,
just we watch
even.
His, like, that's like the that's, his also ran.
That's like the seventh inning stretch. Yeah. He's like, he runs upstairs and his mom is now walking on giant man hands and her
Which
arms
is pretty cool
are
looking.
And his sister's head pops out of where his mom's vag should be.
Right.
And says, if you have any edible fantasies, you should probably indulge them now, and, like, sticks her tongue out at him.
Yeah.
And then Dad, with his head coming out of the asshole, making fart noises.
Which is the cover of the movie.
Yeah.
By the way. Yeah. Which, you can't tell that's exactly what it is until you know that's what it is, and then you go, whoa.
But once you know what it is, you never wanted anything else.
It can
else.
Never be unseen.
So we're leading up to the A scene, then, is Billy...
The A scene. If you can find them, you can hire them.
So, Zach, whatever, Fredrickson is about to go. There was almost a spit take.
It was really, really close.
So there's an attempted shunting on Billy. Billy grabs the dude's hand and like forces it up the dude's own butt.
So, shunts fired.
Yeah. So
shunts across the bow.
Fire a warning shunt. So the so his hand goes all the way up.
I mean,
up
she's
his
cool
own
now,
ass,
but she's a bit of a shunt.
Out his mouth, grabs his like through the eyeballs and mouth like a bowling ball.
Because you get like his thumb comes out of his mouth, and then his fingers poke out and push his eyeballs out. I think.
Yeah.
Right?
At which point, Billy yanks the hand back out and like turns the guy inside out.
Yeah, literally from like the waist up, he's inside out, and everybody kind of like pauses and goes, "Oh, he turned him inside out," and Billy's like, I guess you're all distracted. I'm going to just...
Yeah, like,
I'm going to bounce, if that's cool.
I love like, nobody touch him until he heals. Like,
Jesus. Yeah, and he's just like, cool, you guys do that. I'm going to bounce. Great party. Sorry about the carpet. Send me a bill. I'm out. And then just kind of like he just leaves. And it's
new. That fight has a like a boxing announcer intro, and it's like lineage of Julius Caesar, badass, straight up motherfucker. And then it's like Billy Warlock. Who fucking cares? Let's just get this thing going. Yeah. I mean, look at him. He fucking sucks dick for cash. And they're just like,
man, they have to kickbox for a while before the shunting.
Yeah, well, and you know, then he throws the salt in the eyes, and we basically get, you know, the better parts of Bloodsport.
I was just going to say it's a Van Damme movie, but a little less gay. But, yeah, so it's they go completely off the rails, batshit insane for the last 10 minutes, and I love this movie for that. And for that alone, I would say everybody should see it.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's absolutely worth seeing just to be like, holy hell, this is nuts.
Well, and the fact that you may or may not watch it on YouTube if you want means there's zero impact financially to you.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you
potentially.
Want, yeah, and if you're just like, the rest of this sounds a little lame, you can just skip and watch the last 10 minutes, because you're not... To be fair, it's a finely honed and well-crafted film, but I bet you can figure out what's going on if you just skip to the last 10 minutes. You're like, oh, but all the nuance is lost.
But make sure you see the guy who stole Pee-wee's bike, though, at least once.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
I like... So, the scenes with the psychiatrist, I thought played very well. Mm-hmm. I like the shower scene is really far more unsettling than
it's
it has
pretty
any
dope.
Right to
yeah.
be. So that was pretty cool. The sex scene with the like backwards body and then mom coming in and coughing up a hairball. Fantastic. The rest of it I was just kind of coasting, but amiably. Like it doesn't make you slog.
No,
you know?
I never
felt... It was just
felt...
a nice, pleasant trip, and then at the end it's just gonzo.
Yeah,
I
never
that.
Felt the time on this one. And it's only like 1:30. It's not a long movie. But like we've watched plenty of movies that were 1:30, 1:40, where I was just like, oh god, how much of this is left? Like I was in. I was like, this is good. Like, I'll just sit and watch this, and it can just take me where it takes me. And it surprised me, like, at the end.
It
of like,
took
this
you
is
to Funky Town.
Pretty nuts, yeah. Because I actually make a point, if I've not seen the movie that is one of our assignments, you know, as much as I post the IMDb link and the trailer on the show notes, I never actually watched the trailer. So if it's a movie I've never seen, I go to the YouTube page, pause the trailer immediately, and just copy the embed code and don't watch it because I want to just be able to see the whole thing because trailers ruin so many movies lately. And I'm glad I didn't, because if I had any idea that I'm going to see some guy talking out of his own asshole, then I would have spent the whole movie like, when do we get the asshole talking part? And here I was just like, oh, there's an asshole
talking. But to be fair, you're like that with a lot of movies. Like, when do we get to that part where the asshole talking happens? Like, that's not
in
this movie,
Matt. Every movie, guys.
Like, man, this is Schindler's.
Just because you saw one movie where a guy talks out of his asshole... doesn't mean that all movies have it.
But wouldn't
Matt,
it be awesome?
This is the new Pixar movie. It's not going to...
But it means they could have all the assholes talking. It costs the same to animate a butthole as it does mouth.
Matt's rebuttal just, right, but it may not mean that all movies have it, but it means that some of the movies have it, and that the movie that we are currently watching is a movie I believe has it.
Yeah, some of the movies have talking assholes all the time.
But you can't have all of them... I'm sorry, I'm distracted because I'm thinking of how Pixar would do a Naked Lunch. Because there once was a man who taught his asshole to sing. Is that whole monologue from Naked Lunch. I want to see Brad Bird direct the singing asshole monologue from Naked Lunch. Peter Weller can still do the voiceover. It'll be fantastic. I think we broke.
I think, yeah, my mind is just blown with how much I want to see that now. Like that. Wow. Like,
don't do fucking... WALL-E 2, which I know you're eventually going to fucking do. You do Naked Lunch. You do an NC-17 Pixar movie. That's how you get the kids in.
Well, they're also doing Big Hero 6.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah. The first Marvel animated movie done by Pixar.
Is it going to be Pixar, Disney, or Disney Toon, though?
I don't know. I mean, it's they just
because it depends on like the A-Squad, the B-Squad, or the C-Squad.
Well, I'm assuming they're going to want the good guys on it, because... that's how they make their money now, is making the Marvel movies.
But anyway, let's wrap up Sociedad.
Soledad O'Brien.
Give me some potatoes, Soledad O'Brien. Which is just potatoes O'Brien with salsa on them. It's great.
I would eat that.
Yeah. I don't know how to rate this because I think it transcends rating. It's not the most finely made film, but it never had me checking my watch.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not like... it's not Psycho, you know, it's not The Mist, but it just demands to be seen. Like, the only thing I can do, like, it's not rating, it's just, you should watch it. Because it's insane.
Yeah.
Seven and you should watch it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was going to say...
Seven and you'll watch them fall.
Anyway.
I like making Matt tired.
I wouldn't say it transcends rating. I think it's important in other ways.
It's transcendent. It's a transcendent piece.
But I would say this is important in other ways than the rating. I think of the three of us, I'm probably the bigger gore hound. As far as the movies I watch, I really enjoy like the crazy extreme stuff that like we'll probably never do for assignments for this show because they're just not fun to talk about. And it's real hard to make jokes about like Solo or Serbian film or Cannibal Holocaust. Like, it's hard to make that entertaining and wacky.
Right.
But I love those movies. Like, you know, like, so this movie is, like, as just as an experience, is probably like a 7-ish. I think that's fair. But in the way that I like that crazy fucked up, you know, like Inside or Martyrs type shit, this is along that spectrum where it's like, if you're into weird, crazy, like, holy shit horror, then this is fun in that way. So separate from the rating, if you're just kind of into the more crazy body horror extreme stuff, which is still, I mean, this is relatively tame by a lot of today's standards.
And it's still on a lighter tone.
Certainly, yeah. But it's just, it does some, like...
Dead Alive tone.
Yeah, but if you're just, like, a movie that's just, like, that's fucked up and wacky, like, this one hits that, too. So, like, you can, as an A or B toggle, it's definitely good for that. Hmm. But then it's just a movie, it's fun, it's cool. So, yeah, like, a 7 is just kind of a generic overall.
Oh, that's weird. I feel like in a parallel universe, there's a me that goes, and then, of course, he fucking sticks his hand all the way up some guy's ass and out his mouth, like... Jesus Christ, stop filming your weird sexual stuff and making me watch it. Like, if it had been a short in ABCs of Death...
I was going to say, this is 4 minutes long, you'd hate
people,
it. Yeah.
I would have hated it. Maybe that's just Japanese people. I don't want to see him do gore. Although, Screaming Mad George, Japanese.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, there you go.
So when he's screaming, he's doing the Japanese acting thing that you were talking about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday being last week. All mm-hmm. days are as one to me. We're going to take a brief break and come back with two movies that only two of us have seen, but not the same two. People.
Puzzle that one out.
I'm the constant.
You're the constant gardener.
You're the Constantine.
You're the Constantinople?
I'll take it. All right, so the next movie on the list is Revenant, or... Revenante, I'm going to guess.
Or El Revenant.
Or Soledad O'Brien.
El hombre que necesita una toalla.
Just call it Adam Monroe from Heroes.
The man who needs a towel is the Revenant.
Okay, why not?
This is the one that I didn't get to this week. Shit was going down and we are recording early, so I'm just going to let Dunn and Matt riff as much as they want to on that.
I kind of dug this movie. You sort of didn't.
I'm more indifferent than anything. I really hated his sidekick. Like, violently hated him.
I didn't hate him as much as you.
Not only is he not...
What else is he in?
He's not... I don't know. Everything he's in, I hate, though. I know that's a fact. And every time I see that guy's face, I'm like, this movie's shit.
He's your Paxton.
Yeah.
But nobody will ever be Bill Paxton to me, though.
Bill S. Paxton Esquire.
He's always Bill Paxton to me.
Yeah. Okay, let me figure out who that dude is.
Oh, he takes care of himself. Chris
Wilde. Well, anyways.
And he doesn't...
Go ahead. What's his name?
Chris Wilde. Oh, yeah. Good names on these people this week.
Wilde and Warlock. They're cops.
Let's see.
It's going to be a wild time when Chris Wilde comes to town.
Wow, well, he's in...
Say not go there.
Wow, he's in, like, nothing.
God.
I mean, he's in plenty of things, but, like, oh, he's in Joe Dirt as Railroad Boy.
Well, I thought Railroad Boy was the guy who held Joe Dirt together.
You'd think. No,
the thing that held Joe Dirt together was the extras doing the ADR off screen saying, ooh, it's so flat. That held that fucking movie together.
And weird.
Saying, Life's a Garden, dig it, also held that movie together.
Yeah, he's a dude that looks really familiar, but yeah, like, he's really not anything I would have seen, which is strange. Briefly, this is a movie about a dude who is killed while on active duty somewhere for the military. I forget where they say it is, Afghanistan or some shit. And then comes back to life, because that's what a revenant is.
But he's also a vampire, but not a zombie.
But not quite a vampire, because a revenant isn't exactly a vampire.
Right, but they spend a good 40 minutes talking about it.
They really do. So the dude comes back, and everybody's all surprised, because he was dead like a minute ago. And then
like, oh, man,
he
so
and basically the way being a revenant works in the movie is that you are dead and kind of rotting unless you drink blood, in which case you get a little more normal for a while, and then you can get drunk and party, I guess. And so Deuter and his buddy go out and kill criminals so that they can kind of guilt-free allow him to feed.
And well, first they don't want to kill anyone. I fucking love the one sequence I do love in the movie. All the homeless guys. Where it's just like, you got that sign that says, we'll work for food? Yeah, I'd rather just have a couple of bucks. That's not how it fucking works.
Yeah,
your sign says you will work for food, not give me $2.
Yeah, we'll give you work. Get in the car. Yeah, if you could just give me a couple of bucks, though, that would be super.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. We got work for you. We got work to do.
Yeah.
And we're going to feed you afterwards, much like the agreement on your sign.
Yeah, can I just have a couple of bucks? Nah. It does say on your sign.
Like, and then the one guy was just like, hey. Then they go to the next guy, and the exact same thing happens. And then they go to a third guy, and it's like, I ain't no fuck boy. Just like, that's not what I'm talking about. You got a boy's hair, you get the fuck out of here.
He just starts, like, kicking the car. And he's like, go, bro, go.
That's not what we're talking about. And they just drive off.
Because it is, I mean, and again,
it's the one superior scene in the whole movie, because I'd never seen anything done like that with the homeless, but they very clearly are like, I'm not. It says work, but it doesn't mean I actually want to do anything.
Yeah, like, sure, that is the literal nature of the contract, but we all know the basic agreement here. But I was telling Josh, this movie reminded me a lot of Boondock Saints. Because you have...
But not as good.
But, I mean, Boondock Saints isn't a great movie either.
Yeah, but it's way better than this fucking
movie. Sure, it's better
than
this.
Like, billion times better than this.
But you've got the basic idea of, like, two morons go out, and then they become these vigilante killers that are killing criminals, and it's really fun for a while, and then, again, like, there's real-world consequences toward the end of the movie, where it's like, I guess maybe just running around shooting people, even if we think they're bad people, probably is going to have some bad repercussions in life. Whoa. And it's like, okay, you have kind of the same arc that movie had, because you have these two guys, you're like, yeah, and they're just like, you have funny scenes where every time they kill a dude, they just throw the gun that dude had in the back seat, and you have this pile of automatic weapons and shit.
Well, the weird thing is, like, for me, is it the liquor store thing, mm-hmm. where the black guy is, and they start doing all these, like, really long discussions about, like, Farrakhan's ideals,
oh,
and, like,
yeah.
And it's just like, wow, somebody really wanted to have a Tarantino-esque dialogue scene in here that shows that this movie is definitely far above its station consciously.
Yeah, oh, no, you needed Damon Wayans from Don't Be a Menace to pop up and just go, message! Like,
yeah,
that's exactly what happened.
And it's just like, oh, great, this is exactly what the movie The Revenant needed.
Yeah. Oh,
was this crazy undertone.
Adam, you're going to want to make sure to follow Chris Wilde forever on Twitter.
Yeah. Consider it done.
Consider it done. Hollywood done.
Deal.
But, yeah, these two losers go around killing criminals so the one dude can drink blood, and then when his dipshit friend that Adam hates gets shot,
it takes way too long to get there.
Oh my
like,
God.
I'm like, why
this movie's nearly 2 hours.
I was like, why hasn't anyone shot the other guy
yet? With credits, this movie has like an hour, or I'm sorry, 117 minutes runtime, like long movie. But so eventually, Buddy gets shot, and then he like drinks his blood, and then he's able to come back as another revenant, and then they both go on an undead killing spree.
Right.
And then near the end, they get too lazy and get caught because they can't go out killing multiple people every night. And there's huge gunfights with cops, and they eventually... And it also, apparently being a revenant means you're active from dusk till dawn. And so eventually they get... Deuter gets captured in daytime, and then you have the scene at the end of the movie where they have all the revenants that they created, because you find out during the movie, because they kill people, throw their bodies in plastic bags, and chuck it off a dam, and you find out that none of them are dead. They're all revenants now, because apparently if they've been fed on, they become a revenant. They just didn't really know that. They just assumed they were dead. And so you have, like, all these revenants, and you have the government lab that has all these different revenants kind of chained up. And they talk about the ways they've tried to figure out how you can kill them, and it's apparently very difficult. And then the final scene of the movie is a bunch of revenants getting airdropped into a combat zone.
And they're just going out to feed on insurgents.
Yeah, exactly. And so you have this weird thing where this dude that was a soldier at the beginning ends up being one again, despite being dead. at the end. It's like, okay, you tried to do a thing. Like, I applaud that they at least had this idea of, like, well, there's this and that. It's clumsily done. And for a while, when they're on their crazy killing spree, they just kind of gave up on making anything look good, because it is just, like, the worst compositing ever. And it's just, like, them kind of standing in front of a green screen just shooting guns like fucking Yosemite Sam, and you're like... You're in one room and they're just swapping backgrounds here. Like, it's.
Although the one scene, a secondary scene that I did enjoy was when Zach Wilde shows up as Pieces, and they use the fucking vibrator on his throat to make him talk.
Because just his head gets delivered in the box. And he's doing that whole, like. But clearly there's no air being forced through.
And it's just, so he can't. But it's just like. But you have to fucking get out of here and make sure you kill me. It's like, I don't know how to kill you. You gotta kill me. I can't live the rest of my life with a dildo stuck in my throat. And it was like, that's
a pretty great scene.
Good.
Yeah, like there are moments that were good. And the dude who's the main revenant,
Adam Monroe from Heroes,
is great.
He's fantastic.
He's actually really good.
But he was also fantastic on Heroes in the season that wasn't written by Brian Fuller.
There's the scene when they're trying to figure out what he is, and that's when they're kind of addressing the whole zombie vampire thing and kind of figuring out that he's not quite either. Where his buddy, like, holds out the crucifix, and he's just like, nah, nothing. And he's like, okay, this is holy water. And he, like, sprinkles a little on his hand. He's like, fuck! Oh, my God! Why would you pour a small amount of water on my hand? That's ridiculous. And he's like, dude, you don't have to be a dick about it. He's like, water on my hand! Why? And he's like, dude, look. Ah, my hand! He's like, it's not cool to keep doing my hand!
I did.
It goes on for like 40 seconds.
I really
and
did.
And every time you think he's done, he does it one more time.
Oh God, I forgot that he's just like, fuck you, I'm going to bed. That just like doesn't, after that whole ordeal. But then, another dynamic.
Dimension?
That I enjoyed was the fact that Zach Wilde fucked dude's girlfriend after he died.
Yeah.
Like, and he comes back and it's just like, he comes back and then the girl's like, well, why don't you just take me with you? And he drinks all of her blood and then Bart destroys her head.
Which they assume is like what killed her.
You're right. And he's like, dude. He's like, I loved her. And he's like, dude, you were going to marry her? You were never going to marry her. I gotta tell you, I fucked your girlfriend, and then they have this huge gunfight because they just
These
are so mad at each other.
Vulnerable immortals.
And they just are fucking hating on each other. Like, they're so mad. And he's like, fine, I'm fucking out of here. Fuck you. I'm going to Vegas by myself.
Well, but it's like, you know, they each whip out a gun. He's like, what are you gonna do? Shoot me? And just, and you dick.
You're a dick.
You're a dick. And they empty out all their clips, and then douchey friend just like, oh, come on. And then shotgun, kaboom. And they're like, I'm out. Fuck you. Like, we're done.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, butthead. that's pretty funny,
yeah, fuck
too.
You, butthead. And then he gets delivered back as the head, and they have this moment where he's just like, I can't, man, you're my best friend, I love you. And he's like, I fucked your girlfriend. He's like, I don't fucking care about that, man, I love you. You gotta kill me.
And he just is like, well, steamroll ought to accomplish that, and it does. Yeah, so it's I think, I forget who it was, maybe Mud in the show notes or whatever comics, he's like, yeah, it's not a horror movie, just enjoy it for the ride it is. And
right.
So, yeah, and there were, again,
it's
this
like
movie
it's, for
damn,
Josh, it's kind of like, it's kind of Dylan Dog-ish.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It is way too long. Like I said, this movie's damn near 2 hours. This movie would probably have trouble sustaining itself for 90 minutes, because it's pretty paper thin. There are enjoyable scenes, and like, I think if you just got to the enjoyable bits faster, you could save a ton of time.
Yeah, and I probably would have liked it better.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, it's kind of, for me, it kind of fits in that 5-6-ish out of 10 range.
Yeah, I would say it's like a 5.
And you're like, meh, you know, it exists.
Yeah, it was fine. Again, I can see why people
It wasn't
be like,
shit, it wasn't great.
Yeah, but I can see why people be like, you know what, I bet you haven't seen this. It's worth a laugh.
Yeah, I had fun watching it.
Yeah,
you know,
so. You know, okay, cool.
Yeah, for me it's 5/6.
Yeah, if you were to just stumble across this somewhere, you know, get it on a Redbox or your local video store for cheap, whatever it is. Yeah, whatever. You know, if you're just like, I don't know what else to watch. I heard that was okay. Yeah, you could do that. It's that kind of movie. Like, this is the kind of shit I would watch while doing dishes or something. You don't need to pay a lot of attention, and every now and then you'd be like, meh, and then you can go back to what you're doing. Not a classic by any stretch.
How did you feel about when Zach Wilde just blocks the lesbian friend and just like, she said she was gonna tell, and dude, she was a fucking cunt anyways, and just like, just kills her, and just like, dude, we can't just kill people, we're supposed to kill bad guys only. Kill people, kill bad guys, she's a cunt, dude. He just hates her so much, it's just like, you don't get it, man, you weren't around when she was being a really big bitch all the time.
I think it's maybe the first guy that they kill, the gangbanger dude that tries to rob him, that comes back and is the first guy to go, yeah, I was alive down there, you know.
I woke up in a lake. We should have used more rocks.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you fucking shoulda. And he's like, I woke up to fish eating my eyelids, and the dude's eyes are just all bugged out because he has no eyelids anymore, and yeah, he's just stuck like that forever. And you're like, yeah, that's a kind of cool concept that, like, if you were a lazy vampire or revenant or whatever, that you just have created all these other ones that you were totally unaware of, and all of a sudden they came back, and they're pissed because their lives are shit now. And they address that a little bit again in that the ending where they're just like, yeah, we found this one that had been living in whatever area for like 2 months because it just had been, like, I think it's the guy that he scares to death in the morgue. And it's like, no one found him, and he's just been hiding out in the basement of some hospital, you know, feeding off people, and it's, we finally found him. So it's just like, we think this is the first one probably. And they, oh, by the way, Deuter gets his arm cut off. And at the end, when they have, like, they're giving a tour to the military of all the revenants they have locked up. And the military guy walks up and he's like, son. And the little, like, 4 inches of stump he has goes, nah. He wants to salute, yeah, but doesn't have an arm
what
anymore.
Happened to you, son? I guess I just lost my way.
And he's like, you were in the army? Yeah. Well, you'll have an advantage. And then cut to airdropping revenants to go take care of whatever. So, you know, it's... It was fun. It wasn't a great movie. Not as bad as many of the movies we watched.
I did like the scene where he bursts out of the barrel in the end, though, and he's, like, striding forward.
Yeah, with purpose. Yeah, like, he's like, well, I'm stuck with this. I might as... And that is, I think, the thing, is it's him going, like, I'm going to commit to trying to do something with my non-life or whatever. It was all right, you know.
His aura looks like shit. Oh, his aura looks like shit.
He's fucking dead. He's laying on the ground in a puddle of black vomit. Well, his aura looks like shit. Which, to me, everything wrong with New Age.
It was just great because she's just like, oh, his aura, like, puts her hands out and is like, well, his aura looks like shit. And then Zach Wilde was like, oh, his aura looks like shit, huh? just like, good. Very good. But yeah, so 5/6/10. Check it out if you feel like it.
I'll say 5, yeah. It's, like I said, I can watch this stream and watch it.
And then Matt Alex struggles to the corner. Josh Knight's reaching out. Matt Alex makes the tag. In comes Josh. That's a pro wrestler.
All right, brother.
And Josh starts clearing house on Darkly Noon.
Yeah, it's just a lot of forearm smashes. Fucking
couple of big boots. Yeah, big leg drop right here, too.
Yeah, one special one. Not a finisher, but one special one. Mm.
And then, you know, takes the WWE or WWF world title and starts Jimi Hendrickson. Fucking New World Order, baby.
I'm just
life.
Kind of in awe at Matt's beatboxing there.
That was awesome. We were in there together.
It's pretty tight. It was the remix. It was the,
not as tight as what just happened.
Yeah, the Passion of Darkly Noon, or if we're translating the name, and we must, La Pasión de Oscuridadamente Mediodía.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
It's like 10 times longer than it ever needed to be. Just like this movie.
Yeah, this was what I was talking about when I said a movie that clocks in at an hour 40, you know, should have been an hour 20.
Or an hour 10.
Yeah, or 45 minutes. Like, this thing starts pretty solid.
Should have been an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah. Should have been a 5-minute short on YouTube. This thing starts pretty solid.
Should have been a Vine
video. It gets really weird. It should have been an animated GIF. With only 3 frames.
It should have just been a still picture.
It should have just been a sculpture made of GIF. It's a diorama, if you will.
An animated GIF of a sculpture of GIF rotating.
Ooh.
Like a flaming skull on a GeoCities webpage.
Goddamn right.
Only the flames are stop motion peanut butter sculpture. Delicious. No wonder choosy moms are choosing it.
Deep pull.
Yeah. This starts solid, which is more is the pity.
And it gets a lot wetter and softer towards the end. Looser, as it were.
Kind of like peanut butter if it's been in the pantry and then you take it out on a hot summer day.
Gotcha, because it's peanut butter jelly time.
Exactly.
I don't even know why I think that's great. What has happened?
This is what happens.
I'm sitting here looking at my notes like, yes, gentlemen, let's discuss
this.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, it's past my bedtime.
Remember, you got to understand like that you guys have to clock in. No, you guys have to clock in for about three quarters of a show today. I'm clocking in for a whole show and I'm eating cheesecake and drinking.
Yeah.
So you guys are the ones who made the mistake of
moment now, you're going to kind of collapse and someone's going to come out and put a cape over your shoulders. Yeah, and you're going to like be halfway out of the room and then you're going to come running back and be like, yeah! And another thing I liked about Darkly Noon.
Get up over that thing.
So you're gonna kiss myself.
So I'll tell you what I don't like.
What do you not like?
I don't like the hot spring scene in this movie.
Yeah.
And that's just because Ashley Judd should have been without clothes on.
Where she is saying, let's go for a swim. Ain't nobody here but you and me. And Brendan Fraser's going, but it's a sin.
Today, Junior.
And she says, being naked ain't the same as having sex.
And then she just doesn't get it wrong. It's just like, being naked ain't the same as sex. All right, well, then the expectation in my mind is that you're going to get naked. Not take one of your three dresses off.
Right.
And then just get into the water.
The wet nighty at the beginning, like short wet night shirt, that was fine. That was getting the job done. We got what Brendan Fraser being the titular Darkly Noon, who was raised in a cult, and then his whole cult got gunned down by the alcohol, tobacco, and firearm dudes. So he's kind of like lost, and he meets Ashley Judd out in the middle of nowhere, or he meets the random
dude. Does he jut out for her?
He does.
This whole movie is his.
Her nipples kind of jut out over her nightgown.
God damn it.
So
this is why we have no female listeners.
A random handyman.
We got one or two.
Yeah, they're all constantly pissed.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to argue that they're not constantly pissed.
Right.
I just think it's odd that Emily they keep listening after they're so mad.
All the Emily time. Listens. Emily likes us.
Well, she might like you.
She went to see Evil Dead with us.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
She's down.
Fair enough.
She might like you guys, because I wasn't there.
No.
Because then she'd hate you guys and think I was super cool.
Oh, my God. So we got, like, Viggo Mortensen pre-Aragorn as a guy who is mute for no fucking reason and communicates by clicks, whistles, and miming, pretty much.
And does a great job at it still.
Oh, yeah. He was his tender scenes.
You can see why he got The Road and all the Lord of the Rings just from...
You know what kind of movie this is pretty early on, I think, because you get, like, Ashley Judd in her little nightgown is soaking wet, and she, like, starts to take it off, and camera cuts away. Cut to the next morning, Brendan Fraser sits up on his bed, butt-ass naked, like, stands up, bending over enough to give us the shadow of the sack under there. And I was like, yes, I understand. This is an artsy movie. Because you're going to... You know, you will show us some dude's beanbag, but you're not going to show us any boobs.
So basically, we know what artsy movies are because we don't watch them on this show. Can we have like anyone who's like
Antichrist? Is that count?
They're a scholar? They're a scholar of our show. Go back and take down all the things that we have deemed artsy, and go ahead. But just start at this movie though, at the top of the list. Shadow of some guy's beanbag. If that is in the movie,
how do you see the shadow of just his beanbag?
He's got huge nuts, and the shadow's just cast.
But how
do
you not see dong?
It's just a sack. He's
arisen.
As he stands up, he bends over just far enough.
Oh,
on
it's
the
butt
standing.
Sack.
Yeah,
okay,
on
gotcha.
Ass side. So that you see the underneath of the, you know, somewhere Gus Van Sant is going, that's a really good shot, getting right up in his butt like that. Like, thanks, God.
Well, they had seen the Psycho remake.
Yeah, this movie came out, and fucking Van Sant's like, I'm going to top this. We're going right inside Anna Hayes' asshole. And we're going to see her sack shadow.
Because
you have
no
idea.
One demanded.
You have no idea what women look like naked, do you, Gus Van Sant? And he's like, well,
I'm still counting my Good Will Hunting money.
I got to go. I got to get out of here. You'll beat off a barbed wire on me.
Yeah. Wow.
Say it aggressively like that.
There you go,
and it'll really save face.
So for a minute.
1 minute.
Multiple minutes.
A lot of them.
All the minutes.
It seems like this is going to be kind of interesting, because you got, like, Ashley Judd's husband is away doing nature walk, She clearly wants the D from Darkly Noon. Darkly Noon is just about to explode either in jizz or in blood or in something.
Or a mixture of both.
Something's going to happen. Like, there could be this interesting confrontation between his, like, the worldview that he's got and her, and then, you know, throw the husband coming back into the mix. Like, and there's somebody out in the woods that's shooting randomly at her house from time to time, and she just goes out and screams at them and fires back.
I believe
before
that
we know who that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, right, right.
It's all of that is like, huh. For a half an hour, this movie is like, this could go somewhere. My notes are like, this is interesting. I'm intrigued by this. Brendan Fraser's kicking ass. Why isn't Ashley Judd naked? You know, just the regular notes. But then, like, Clay shows up, and he's a randomly mute and working with wood. And, Grandma shows up with, and we find out she's the one doing the shooting.
Sorry,
just wood. Just the word.
No,
wood. What?
No, it's not wood. It's just
okay, I
the whole
was
sequence
with wood.
Like
he's a real big Allison Chains fan.
Just, I'm gonna play it back for you and see if it works out for you. Just
rewind.
And Clay shows up mute for no reason, just working with wood. Just very matter of fact. Okay. Just like the way that it goes down, because it's just
it's awesome the way I just say things.
No,
that are
that the way that you deliver that was just. And, like, the look on fucking ultra-mute Viggo Mortensen's face, he's just like, sand. Just like, it goes right into my brain, and I make something else out of it. You know how it works.
Yep.
But, and then, like, and Grandma shows up. This movie's so dumb. I don't like it.
Yeah, oh, the, so when she, in the skinny dipping scene, which isn't, she, like, throws her arms behind her head. And suddenly the boner is gone. There's only the shadow of the sack remains. Because she's got, like, an armpit forest. And, you know, I'm sorry. I can't. I just can't. Even for Ashley Judd. Another way we know this is a movie with delusions of pretension is that it has title cards.
Right.
The little day one.
Ninth day.
Day two. Or yeah, ninth day, seventh day. And it's seventh day because that's, you know, seventh day.
Well, but then it's like 11th day and then final day.
Final day.
Which sucks, even up all night studying. I hate final day.
And then
no
you get
the final.
Yeah, and then you get nerds locking you in a dungeon and shit.
Gotta tell you, man, that movie hits home way harder for me than it must hit for you guys.
Right.
That has happened to me way too many times.
It's like, not the cool whip.
Please don't cool whip my face and then
say
acupuncture
whip.
Me.
Cool
whip.
Wow, that was really hard for me to say the W part.
The actual point at which the movie falls apart is Darkly runs away from Ashley Judd because he can sense that she does not want JC, she wants D. And he finds a little babbling brook and a giant shoe covered in glitter.
Yeah. That's
that it, like, it comes sailing down the brook like a little raft. And I go, huh, they're in some weird dream scene with some symbolism of this glitter shoe that is like big enough for a man to ride inside.
Whoa, that's
comes floating down the river. It just like a sneaker covered in glitter the size of a
imagine
small
a Reebok
boat.
Pump
yeah,
covered in glitter the size of a boat.
However, it's not a dream sequence, and right then is where Grandma comes in, gives us the backstory about how Ashley Judd killed her husband and stole her son, Clay, away from her because she's a witch, which never, you know, it would be mildly interesting if there was anything to that. But, yeah, that is the point where things start to fall apart. They, you know, like, Darkly has his little descent into madness. He wraps himself in barbed wire and, I don't know. He starts seeing his fucking zombie parents telling him to do God's work and do the killing and get,
I did kind of like the zombie parents a little bit because they kind of made me think of Hallucinations from Pet Sematary, but not as good. Like, I kind of enjoyed them, but at the same time, it was like,
they're
all
too
right.
Stuck for me. They're,
isn't that right, Mom? Yes, Pop.
They're like, they're from the Out of Stock Festival. They're, but they're just stock characters, the crazy religious people. And they don't have an angle. in the way that Darkly kind of had this interesting
Holy
thing
shit,
going.
I just found a picture of the shoe.
Yeah, right? That's where it... And then things just...
Apparently when I had to pick one of two movies to watch, I chose wisely.
You certainly did.
Yeah, I don't know why this movie's on the list.
Yeah.
Just to get right down
to
brass
tacks. Yeah, that's actually a good question. Is there something about this that's underrated?
Like, no, there's nothing about it that's underrated. Like, it's arty, you know? That's really what it is. And the list has it as... It's a beautifully crafted dark fairy tale that straddles the line. Like, it does
my
is,
entire
does dark fairy tale ever end well?
Mama was halfway decent.
Is that described as a dark fairy tale?
I think so. I mean, it fucking starts with Once Upon a Time.
Sure, but I just feel like I've heard, it's like a dark fairy tale.
Pan's
and
Labyrinth.
I guess, yeah, I was going to say a Del Toro movie might be the exception, but that's because
I mean,
that dude
I feel like every time I hear dark fairy tale, it's like, and then we say Del Toro movie, it's like, well, you know, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, produced by Del Toro. He's the only one who's really brought dark fairy tale.
Right. Him and Kanye West, who did the Dark Twisted Fantasy,
Indeed.
And it was beautiful.
It was good.
But the, so like, just random shit happens for the second half of the movie. Grandma's dog dies, and so they give it a Viking burial in the shoe raft.
Okay, like the shoe is on fire in the picture I found.
Yeah, they set the shoe
on
fire.
That shoe is
on
fire.
The shoe. The shoe. The shoe is on fire. We don't need no water. Let the motherfucker burn. Why is the scene in the movie? So then Grandma kills herself.
Like
which means that Darkly, that's Darkly's cue to paint himself up with, like, what was it, like turpentine or
like
some
wagon
shit?
Paint.
Yeah, and... paint himself red, grab the giant chisel that Clay was using, and go into the house and just wreck shit forever.
Yeah.
For goddamn ever. But he's helped by the fact that all of the wiring in the house is made out of fuse wire.
Oh yeah, there's sparks all
the time. Every outlet box is full of C4. And the chicken coop is loaded with hand grenades.
Dude,
he's swinging this metal thing around. Every time he hits, like, a...
anything.
Yeah, and anything, it throws sparks. Because, you know, metal on drywall.
At first I was like, I thought I fucking missed something where he wired up the fucking... the giant chisel. Was like... he, like, hit, like, a like he hit like a picture. The glass shatters and sparks fly. I'm like, where? Why? How is it even possible?
It just turns into a John Woo.
And, like, and I rewound and I was like, at no point has anyone told me that everything will be electrified.
Like, he hits in the wall deep enough to hit a wire, like an electrical wire, which starts on fire and lights the rest of the house on fire. When the fire reaches the chicken coop, it fucking explodes. Like, so Clay gets his leg broken. Clay
no, those chickens are made out of dynamite.
Clay is slowly crawling up the stairs to go help Ashley
and miming
Jared.
The whole time.
Yeah, and you know, clicking and whistling because he's sad that he can't be up there and helping her with Darkly coming after. And they keep cutting back to him over and over and over. But when shit is finally done, he's still down there, and they just go get him. So, you know, wasted like 10 minutes of film. And by the end of it, Duder, who had the piece of fossilized dinosaur shit, comes in and shoots Darkly with a shotgun and, like, well, movie over.
It's too bad, because those two guys are going to run away together.
My head actually hurts from furrowing my brow in confusion for so long.
And the thing is, if you were watching it, you would have seen exactly what I described.
He's not wrong.
All right, so after all, you know, Darkly's dead, the house is burned down because it was made of flash paper and fused wire.
Yeah, just electrified everything in paper.
And Clay and Ashley Judd and Dipshit Boy are walking off to, like, get in the car and go to civilization or whatever the fuck they're going to do. And a...
elephant.
An elephant steps out. And a guy in an MC, like, not a rapper outfit, but a master of ceremonies from a circus steps out.
Ringmaster?
Yeah, with his wife and his kid.
I like, oh, by the way. Hold on. Let's stop the show.
Rewind a bit.
This
This cunt right here just straight up furled like a ringmaster. Yeah, like somebody who isn't a fucking complete dork who doesn't know what each person in the circus does.
I'm a goddamn cunt.
I don't care. I don't care. Don't furl your brow like you're the normal one, you fucker.
The ringmaster is the master of ceremonies, for fuck's sake.
I'm not going to go ahead and play
the
semantic
game. It would be like
if
Kate Sith was actually pronounced Kate Sith and you still catchied me.
Oh, I would still catch you.
Yes, you would.
I can't stop.
Would you 3D print
your
catchy?
I can't quit catchying you.
I would. Those things look great. Okay, I should back up, though, to explain further the absurdity of this ending.
I think you should stop what you're doing, because you're about to ruin.
Oh, Lord. So, at one point, Darkly is suffering his, you know, his PTSD or
his
whatever.
His fear boners.
Exactly. Ashley, he says, like, my mama told me that you can only walk halfway into a forest, and after that, you're walking out. And Ashley Judd responds, no, you can walk into the forest a damn long time, as long as you want. So that happens mid-movie.
That's deep.
So by the end, fucking Ringmaster and his family come in.
Ringmaster fights the Green Lantern a lot.
Yeah. With their, you said it was a ringmaster.
He got retconned out in Infinite Crisis.
With their elephant. And he informs us that the family had gotten lost in the forest and they run into a creek and they had lost their prized possession.
An elephant?
A giant, shiny shoe that looks like a raft. And the little boy made a model of the giant shoe out of an actual shoe that he covered with glitter because that was his favorite thing in the world. Ringmaster then says, you know, it's funny. We've been in the forest a long time. I always thought that you could only walk halfway into a forest and then you'd be walking out. But we were lost in there for a long damn time. And Ashley Judd's like, fucking right? And the kid gives his shiny glittery shoe to Ashley Judd because it's his most prized possession.
That's not how kids work.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you, we watched a movie this week where a guy's face was on his ass, and he was literally talking out of it. That was talking out of its ass less than this movie. We watched a movie where a guy's hand went so far up his own ass that he turned himself inside out. That was not as far up its own ass as this movie got. By the end of this movie, any goodwill from the first half hour is gone, and you're just like, oh, fuck you and your elephant and your little life is like a box of chocolates bullshit, motherfucker.
Is this your new final?
No, this I don't know. I wouldn't say this is as bad as the final, but
I
it's
didn't
close.
Realize how angry I was at this movie till I started.
I know, I'm impressed. I was
angry.
Like, you're
it gets
all you would need is me to love it, and this would be a new high tension.
This is the problem. Like, what gets me is the first half hour is so good. And, like, Brendan Fraser is a good actor, and so is Ashley Judd, and so is Viggo Mortensen. It's like, you have all this talent, and you have this interesting setup, and then you just suck your own dick for half an hour. And to me, that's worse than you had no budget and no talent, and of course
and
you
no one
shitty
sucked
movie.
Your own dick.
Yeah, and,
right.
And
that's,
everyone had
there's
to suck
nothing sadder than
dicks.
The dick left unsucked.
A sucked last
no,
dick.
I stand by that, actually. Yeah.
Two dicks diverged in a wood, and I sucked the one less suckled by, and that has made all the difference. Of course, both
a dick
of
less sucked by Matt Alex. Yeah.
Of course, both of those dicks were Matt's. So.
That's true.
Double dicking.
By the way,
it's Oscar bait, you know.
My buddy Zach wrote a beautiful blues song, and I want to share a little bit of it with you. It goes like this. Well, I've only got one dick. I can't keep my woman satisfied. I said I've only got one dick, and I can't keep her satisfied. Said I never should have introduced her to that two-dick guy. Oh, but I've only got two dicks, and I'm as sad as a boy can be. And it continues. I think we've gotten up to 9 or 10 before somebody just punched him in the head. But whenever I think about multiple dicks, first I think about Matt and Adam. And
oh, I see.
Zing!
This is why he gets paid to write comedy.
They have three between them. Look, both of us write comedy. Only one of us is getting paid.
Well,
and one of us doesn't write comedy at all and gets paid a lot more.
Well, that's true.
Well, I mean, anyone that doesn't write comedy deserves to get paid more than someone that does.
Not according to Tom Lennon. His new book is very good. You guys should all read it.
John
Tom Lennon's the shit.
Yeah.
Is that the How to Make a $1 billion at the box
or
office?
No, not How to Make $1 billion at the box office, but the Screenwriting for Fun and Profit, but Fun And is scratched out and just says Profit.
No, oh, I'm sorry. How to Make a Billion is the subtitle of the
okay.
book. Yeah, that is amazing.
It's a lovely book.
Yeah.
I just bought it, and it's really, really
funny. He's like, here's how you write a Herbie movie.
Yeah, if you like The State, you'll really enjoy this.
Who doesn't? I just watched Wet Hot American Summer again like 3 days ago, and I was like, God damn it, I love this shit. Oh, so good.
Forgot how many of those fuckers are like... That whole cast was unreal.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Like, everyone on The State, and it's just like, yeah. God damn, there are so many fucking funny people on this show.
I'm excited to see Dan Marino in the Evil Demon That Lives in Your Asshole movie. That looks interesting.
He,
Bad Milo? I linked it on the...
Yeah, the ass demon. Yeah. The, okay. I just saw him in a sketch.
Yeah, the ass demon.
I just saw him in a sketch on Drunk History, Comedy Central's new version of the internet show.
Mm-hmm.
He plays fucking Houdini in it, and it's great. It's a pretty good segment. But, Josh, I know this hurts you, but we got to put numbers on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the, like, 2.5 out of 10 mark for
That's
me.
Low.
2.5 out of 10 giant silver shoes.
Silver spoons?
Fuck it entirely.
I'm trying to think of the Carlton. Silver Spoons theme song, and I can't.
You're just thinking of Carlton the whole time when you think of Silver Spoons.
I am.
Carlton.
I'm thinking of Richard.
Was Carlton in the
Carlton was
too?
On Silver Spoons.
Really? Oh, didn't know that. I really watched Silver Spoons.
They actually make a joke on it on Family Guy.
All I know is I wanted that fucking train.
Yeah, dude. That's about all I remember Silver Spoons.
That's all really most train. People remember.
Where are you going to hit Darkly Noon?
I'm going to hit
Square
Darkly
in
Noon.
The nuts.
Yeah, I'm going to hit Darkly Noon at 3.25
Ooh.
Out of 10.
You're all about doing
furious
masturbating.
Well, it's just if we're gonna have like half, I feel like then quarter and three quarter are also equally viable.
Yeah. If I ever get around to putting up the extra page on the website that has all the
You're
ratings.
Never gonna get around to it. It's you, dude. You're never like all the pages we have now are all the pages we will ever have.
It's entirely true.
You did have the drinking game.
That's true.
Yeah, that was later.
I thought you did that.
Well, I wrote the thing, and then you put it on the
That's
website.
Right,
you can put things on the website. Although I
put
stopped,
things on the website every week.
I put things on the shop, and some people buy them. Gremlino's T-shirts available now.
Well, that's because you can't not make money.
It's what I like to do.
He
sometimes
doesn't write comedy. He's got to make that money.
Yes.
Just stack paper.
Wow, this is really funny. You should write this down. I don't fucking do comedy.
I don't write shit down.
I make money for a living. Goddamn it!
Don't know how.
Give me a dollar.
I make money for a living, goddamn
it. For it.
They're like, wait a minute. You make money for a living? Goddamn right I do.
Do you work in a mint?
That's going to have to be a line.
Goddamn right I do. You got to say it like Snake Plissken, too. And I go, but I will work for food, so give me $2. Oh, man.
Yeah, that happened.
Word. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with next week's assignments. So for next week, we're going to go to the actual date that Marty McFly travels to in Back to the Future.
Wait, isn't that where he starts?
Yeah, but he has to travel there after he goes back to the past.
Sweet cover, dude.
He returns to the present.
Yeah. We
Ringmaster.
So,
1985 are the films.
This is coming courtesy of...
Listener Mike.
Mike Mullins.
Who suggested... That because he says someone is either Matt or Josh, he doesn't remember who, mentioned they wanted to watch Reanimator. That was
guaranteed it was Matt.
It's very much me. Josh, you've seen the original Reanimator once,
yes,
right, but not the sequels, and you were not very impressed.
Yeah, I didn't inhale.
Okay, I fucking love Reanimator and both sequels, so I'm fucking pumped. He suggested we do movies from 1985. So for this week, we will be watching Reanimator, Ghoulies, and Return of the Living Dead. I'm pretty sure I know which one's going to be a lightning round, but...
I have fond memories of Ghoulies, which is weird, but I watched it a shit long time ago.
Here's my prediction on what the lightning round will be. We're going to lightning round Reanimator.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Because Ghoulies will have riffability. We're going to find shit to riff on in Ghoulies.
All right, well...
Reanimator, great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. But we're just going to jump right through it. I tell you what won't be the lightning round. I guarantee it. Return of the
Living
Dead.
The name.
I guarantee that won't
be it. Quigley, Tarman, fucking... so much good shit.
Lots of good shit. And The Replacement, Tommy Jarvis.
True.
So. Yeah, and one of the better soundtracks of horror movies of that era.
It's quite good.
Heavily awesome.
Send more cops.
Oh, God. Yeah, there are bands that had that name because they're like, yeah.
It's a great line in the movie. It's really good. It's a lovely line.
Cool. All right, so yeah, those are our assignments for next week. Reanimator, Ghoulies, and Return of the Living Dead. Hey, Josh.
Chat with us, won't you?
If people want to get a hold of us.
On Facebook.com/HorrorDog, HorrorShowHotDog.com, Reddit.com/r/HSHD.
I did just see a Reddit post that was Robert Englund, AMA, doodah, doodah.
Yeah, I made that post.
Yes, you did. Because I read it and was like, that's like what... Oh, I know exactly who made that post.
That's less funny now that it's the guy I thought it was.
I was going to write a hateful...
He was delightful on that AMA.
Seems like a solid dude.
Just Josh. I'm gonna write a hateful post on this guy's comment section. Oh, it is Josh. Put the comment up. Fuck it.
Okay, so what? Facebook, Reddit?
Yep, and at HSHD Podcast on
if you want to talk to me.
Twitter. And the Twitters. And then, of course, there's just the actual podcast website, horseshowhotdog.com, where you can leave a comment. I'm going to set up an email maybe this week or the week after. Shit's going to get real for me really soon here. With my schedule. So I will set up something so that maybe by next episode we'll have just an email address you can send suggestions and things to, so they're all in one spot, and then we're probably more likely to be able to scroll through them and use your suggestions more easily.
If you've never chatted at us, I feel like horrorshowhotdog.com is where most of the chatter happens.
Yes. Yep.
So if you have something that's unrelated to a specific episode, then you probably take it to the Reddit or to the Facebook page, or yeah. You know what, if you want to talk to us, do it however and wherever you want.
Yeah, I check
and
all
suddenly
those
Brick
regularly.
Comes flying through Matt's window with a message around it.
I totally would love for you to go ahead and talk to us on the Reddit, because I'm the one who gets all the fucking points for
that's
it.
That's true, you get all the karma.
And everyone knows, he who has the most points wins the internet.
I feel like the karma police should arrest this man.
Well, you know, you don't mess with us.
Are you Texas?
Yeah.
Is Tom York Texas?
I mean, in the fact that I think they're both douchey, yes.
But the real question is, who has more jurisdiction, the Karma Police or the Dream Police?
Dream Police.
The Hair Police.
Oh.
It's true.
Hair Police. They'll give you a cornhawk.
They live inside of your hair.
Maybe it's just the police. Or Polisa.
Well, we're going to let you guys go back to playing DuckTales Remastered.
Is that out now?
Oh, you're goddamn right it's out. God. I spent a very large portion of it playing it today.
I've wasted hours.
It's fantastic.
I love it.
It's got all the things that were wrong with it on Nintendo, even. So, like, you know, when you're holding down the button to keep pogo jumping,
yeah.
And you still stop, and it's like, fuck!
Yeah.
That still happens, and awesome. You still go, fuck!
Awesome. I'm super excited
so
about this.
So, it's awesome.
Yeah, we're going.
Yeah, okay, we gotta go play some DuckTales. Send us your DuckTales-related horror fanfic.
Woo!
Or, woo!
No.